Thank God for the songs. Amen. Amen. And I believe if some people would have been honest this morning and done what God told you to, they'd still be singing. Amen. Amen. The problem is some of you's happy where you're at. I'm glad that he saved me. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad that he keeps me. If it was up to me, I'd mess it all up. If you be honest, if it was up to you, you'd mess it all up. Amen. Job chapter 1, and I like it when God reaffirms and shows me what he wants me to do. There's been things already said in this service this morning that the Lord said, that's where you need to be. Amen. And I like it when God does that. Job chapter 1, I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. We know the story. Amen. Job chapter 1, verse 22. If you're there, say amen. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God, for those already on the altar. God, I thank you, God, for forgiveness. Lord, I thank you, God, for assurance of salvation, God. And Lord, I thank you, God, for the sweet songs that we've heard, Lord. And thank you for Gavin and Olivia, Lord, blessing them and anointing them this morning, God. And God, I pray right now, Lord, as we open up your word, God, you just help somebody right now, God. You touch us right now, God. And whatever's done, we'll make sure you get the praise and you get the glory, God, because, Lord, we can't do anything within ourselves, and we know that, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In all this, we know from reading the Bible and studying the Bible that the Bible says that Job was a very rich man. The Bible says that Job lost all of his wealth in one day. We know that Job had children. The Bible said Job lost all of his children in one day. We know that the Bible tells us that Job was a healthy man, and Job lost his health in one day. And the Bible says in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. In chapter 2, we realized that there were some things that was going on, and Job, wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? And the Bible says in verse 10, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? What can we learn? What kind of lessons can we learn from Job? Now, you just got just a few things this morning that I want to point out to you. This ain't going to be nothing revolutionary. You know all this. Number one, I want you to think about this. One thing we can learn from Job, Greg, is that God will and God can put a hedge around you. Amen. God will and God can put a hedge around you. In chapter 1, verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about all his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. God can and God will put a hedge around you. Why? I thought about this morning. Why did God watch over Caleb Cawthon this morning? Because there was a grandmama and there was a mama and daddy, and there's family members that were praying and asking God to watch over their family. And I'm telling you, the Bible tells us that God can and God will put a hedge around you. Why did God watch over Josh with them babies? Because God can and God will put a hedge around you. When you honor him. When you honor him. You study what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that Job had children and that Job prayed and continually fasted and sacrificed for his children continually. The Bible says God said this. I didn't say it. God said this to Satan. He is a perfect and upright man that feareth God and escheweth evil. Can God say that about you? Some of us wonder why things break around our house. Some of us wonder why things happen around our house. And I'm not saying when things break and when things happen and when we get sick that God has taken the hedge around. But I'm just saying, if you honor him, he'll honor you. That word hedge, that means a protection, an intertwining. And I thought about it when I got to go to England a few years ago in France and over there, and they had what they call hedgerows, Brother Robert. And what it is, there was things that they would plant to keep the wind off of their fields. And in World War II, when the German army came in and invaded France, they would have to blow up the hedgerows just to get the army tanks through. My God and God has planted a hedge. God ain't put a fence around you. God's got a hedge around you. Hey. Satan said, I've tried. I can't get to him because you got a hedge around. Aren't you glad that when Satan comes to your house, Chucky, that God, he can't get to your house because there's a hedge about you. Amen. You put God first and you see what God will do for in your life. Amen. How many want a hedge this morning? How many want God to bless? How many want God to have his hand on you? I'd rather have God's protection hand around me and my family and my home than to have $5 million in the bank. God can and God will put a hedge around you. Number two, Satan knows you. Satan knows you. He knows everything about you. You know, we're all quick, Melvin, to say that God knows everything about us, and God does know everything about us. But Satan is not God. Satan does not have the omnipotence. Satan does not have all power. He is not all-knowing. But there's many little demons out there watching everything we do. Amen? And Satan knows everything about Donald Boone. Satan knows everything about Skip. Satan knows everything about Robert. When I say everything, I mean everything. He knows every little thing about Gavin. He knows what Gavin thinks. He knows what Gavin says. He knows what Gavin does. The Bible tells us that Satan came before God, and God said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, well, let me tell you about Job. You put a hedge around him. And he said, and Satan lied. He's the accuser. He lied. He said, if you'll take the hedge down, he'll curse you to your face. If you'll take the, he only loves you. He's only serving you because you bless him. And the Bible says that when God allowed Satan to come in against Job, that Job still stood the test of time, glory to God. Job still stood up and did what was right. Now we know from studying the book of Job that Job had his ups and his downs, but you understand something. And I was going to wait to the end to say this, but I'm going to say this right now. Satan might know you. Satan might fight you, but you can defeat him. When we study the book of Job, now you listen to this. This here might be revolutionary to you. This is something that I didn't even know, Wes. When we study the book of Job, after the book of Job, you never hear Satan's voice again in the Old Testament. Job shut him down. Job said, I'm standing with God. You can throw everything you want to at me, but I'm standing with God. And he shut Satan up so much that he never speaks again until the New Testament. Somebody says, well, I can't beat Satan. That's a lie of the devil. I can't defeat Satan. That's a lie of the devil. Job did. Satan knows you. Satan knows everything about you. So stand fast and stand with Jesus. Amen. Something else we can learn from the book of Job is through no fault of your own, you can suffer heartache. And you can suffer destruction. See, we still got people in the Christian world that says when you do something wrong, it's because, or when something happens to you, it's because you've done something wrong. We know from studying the Bible that through no fault of his own, Job just out there, Brother Mickey, living his life. He's out there praying. He's out there seeking God. He's fasting and sacrificing for his family. And through no fault of his own, something happens. Job didn't know it was a test. Job didn't know this was a war between God and Satan. So how many of us this morning have almost got to the point where we're ready to give up? How many of us this morning have almost gotten to the point where we're ready to just throw in the towel? We're ready to just quit. Hey, it might be a test. It might be that God's using this. It might be God's trying to show you something. It might be that God's trying to teach you something. It might be that God, it might be that Satan come before God and said, "What about Melvin?" It might be that Satan come before God and said, "What about Johnny?" How about if Satan came before God and said, "What about Linda Snipes this morning?" I tell you what, Lord, if you'll let me do this, she'll turn away from you. But guess what? There's somebody still in church this morning, Satan. There's somebody still holding fast to God's hand, Satan. There's somebody that's still trusting in the Lord. Hey, I'm telling you right now, you understand something. Yeah, it might be a hedge, and yeah, that Satan might be able to get in every once in a while. But glory to God, I'm staying with Jesus. He's been too good to me so far. I realize that things happen in life. I wonder if maybe about a year ago, Robert, Satan came before God and said, "If you'll let me give him a mass on his kidney, he'll quit." If you'll let me take their little girl, they'll quit. If you'll let me give him COVID, make him lose his job, he'll quit. What's going on in your life right now that's got you thinking? What's going on in your life right now? It might be the devil working, and it might be Satan moving to try to get you off track and get your mind off of God. Sometimes, Greg, through no fault of your own, you can suffer. Another thing we can learn from the book of Job is that your friends can and will turn on you. The one sitting beside you, holding your hand, smooching you on the cheek, telling you I love you, telling you I'll be there with you, hey, them kind of friends sometimes will turn on you. The Bible tells us, when you look at the book of Job, the Bible tells us in chapter 3, I believe it, or chapter 2, that Job's friends, the Bible calls them friends. And I don't know about y'all, but I'll stick with the Bible, amen. The Bible calls them friends. Came and for a week, Brother Robert, they sat there and they mourned with him. And they suffered with him. And they were trying to support him. And Job got to talking. These self-righteous friends got to judging. Now, if you look at it, the Bible tells in Job chapter 4, Eliphaz suggested that Job had sinned. "Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off?" He suggested that Job, he said, "Job, you know nobody suffers that's innocent. If you're doing everything right, you ain't going to suffer." Is that right? Somehow or another, they missed the book of Acts, and they missed all the stories about the Apostle Paul, amen. Then you got these self-righteous people in church. Bildad, he supposed that Job had sinned. You know, one suggested it, one supposed that Job had sinned. The Bible says in chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, "Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, How long wilt thou speak these things? How long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Doth God pervert judgment, or doth the Almighty pervert justice?" He said, this is just God doing, and we know that God don't make mistakes. We know this is what God's doing in your life, and God don't make mistakes, Job. You suffering because something you did. Then you got so far. He just comes right out, Jack, and said, "You're a sinner." Notice what so far says in chapter 11. "For thou hast said, My doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee. And that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth." He basically tells Job, you ain't getting all you deserve. My God. I don't need them kind of friends. Amen. Boy, it Oh, Job, you've lost all your wealth. You broke. You ain't got no children. You got boys all over you. But you know what you did, and you ought to be getting worse. Now, let's just back up just a minute. I look out, and I see people, and Brother Melvin ain't got no boys. Brother John ain't got no boys, and I don't have no boys. But bless God, we know, Dale, we know we ain't getting what we deserve. But your friends, how many of us, and let's just be honest, don't raise your hand, but how many of us have had friends in our lifetime that we thought would be there through thick and thin? I mean, Stephen, they'll never turn their back on me. And where they at now? That's one thing we can learn from the book of Job. But the Bible says there's one that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. His name is Jesus. And I like it when Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I believe that was in chapter 19. I know my Redeemer liveth. Hey, if you study the book of Job, Job ain't talking about doing no sacrifices. Job ain't talking about a holy of holies. Job ain't talking about the Ark of the Covenant. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I don't think he knew him as Jesus, but he knew who he was, glory to God. And I'm telling you right now, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I know what his name is. His name is Jesus. One thing else we can learn from Job is that your health is unpredictable. My. Skip sitting on. Now look at Skip. Skip looks just as strong as he ever did. Skip looks like he did 10 years ago. Looks like a strong, healthy man. But Skip knows. That's why Skip's not working right now. Because in just a matter of a few days, you can go from healthy to in a deathbed. And the thing about it is, we ain't got to be in a sick. We can all get in a car wreck. Yeah. Amen? Right. Our health is not permanent. As bad as I hate to admit it, I ain't nowhere near what I used to be. Now, you, other than in this pulpit, I probably never admit that to you. Amen. In my mind, I'm still 18 years old. I can still do anything I want to. But it don't take my mind long to get overrode by my body. Amen. Don't depend on your health. Because it can be gone like that.
Amen.
But you know what else we can learn from the book of Job? Is that my God can restore everything that the devil took from you. We study the book of Job. We understand that the Bible, Job goes through some. I thought about this, Greg, and I thought about Job was able to defeat Satan. Job was able to defeat his friends. Job was able to defeat depression and all that. But when Job got to talking and thinking to himself, self is going to be the hardest one you fight. You can defeat Satan and still let self kill you. You can get over your friends turning their back on you and still go through depression and still go through all that. And let self kill you. But he didn't. He finally had to come to the point, Melvin, where God said, where were you when I created everything? You griping and complaining about what's going on in your life? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? If we ain't careful, see, we get to griping and complaining about what's going on in our life. And how would you like it, Kevin? And I know we all do it. I've done it. You've done it. We all bellyache about what's going on in our life. Amen. Don't y'all. I know y'all ain't saying amen a whole lot right there, but I'll get on your pew if I have to. With all your bellyache and griping, where were you when my son carried that cross? With all your complaining and all your murmuring and griping, where were you when they took that spear and drove it into his side? Where were you when I had to look down from heaven and turn my back on my son because of your sin? Job finally had to admit, Lord, I ain't nothing. I ain't nothing. And the Bible says, now listen now, the Bible says when Job got to the point where he realized who he was, and God said, now I want you to go pray for your friends. The same ones that pointed their finger in his face, Robert said, you sin, you know you ain't getting everything you deserve. God said, now that you're in the right place. And the Bible says when Job prayed for his friends that God turned it around. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, ain't none of us perfect. And I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at people that's gone through hard times, tough times. I mean, we've struggled. We've been on the mountaintop together. We've been in the valley together. We know each other. But the thing is, God knows us better. God knows where you're at right now in your state of mind. God knows what you're going through right now in your state of mind. God knows how close you are to giving up. God knows how close you are to throwing in the towel. And God sent me this way this morning to tell you that he can turn it around. He can turn it around. But you got to trust him. You got to trust him. Gavin, y'all come back and sing that last song one more time. If you would bow your heads with me. Nobody looking around, please. Let's just have a time of honesty this morning. How many say this morning, preacher, I need God to turn something around in my life right now. I need God to turn something around in my life right now. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I won't cut. Thank you for those hands. I need God to turn something around. I need God to move in a situation. I need God to help me right now. Just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you for those hands. God, we love you. God, thank you, Lord, that you can take care of our sin, just like this song says. But God, thank you, you can take care of every situation. Thank God you can take care of self. God, Lord, sometimes I need you to take care of me. Lord, I need you to move in my mind, God. God, help me to be steadfast, unmovable like Job, God. God, I pray right now, Lord, you'd move. Lord, there's somebody in this building, God, that needs a hedge right now. God, there's somebody in this building right now, God. Lord, they've had friends turn their back on them, God, and they just need a touch, God. Lord, there's somebody in this building. Maybe their health is not what it needs to be, God, and they want you to move, God. God, there's somebody in this building that needs you. Lord, I know I do. In Jesus' name, if you would, let's stand.